Ready, down, hunt, 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 hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend, he is our teammate, he is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
We are luscious. Jason, can you tell me about the Target grudge? We're talking about grudges. I've never heard this.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was in the early days of Twitter. And I think it was maybe Maddie was still a baby. And so, you know, when you're a parent, so this is Maddie's 15 now. So that was obviously 15 years ago, and I still don't shop there. So I went, it was later in the evening, like I think they close at 9. It was about 12 to 15 minutes away from our house. And as is the old joke about Target, you go to Target for one thing and you end up spending like $100. And so I had a cart full of stuff, and I realized that I had a $5 coupon because, you know, I don't have that NFL money. And I got to the checkout and said, hey, I just realized I had this at home. You know, can I, you know, I promise I'm not trying to scam you. You guys know you guys were giving these out the other day. Can you take the $5 off? And they said no, and I said, okay, well, can I bring it back and get an adjustment? And they said, no, you have to do it the same day as the purchase. I said, well, you're closing in 5 minutes, so I can't bring it back tomorrow? No. And then a manager came over and gave me the same spiel, and I said, look, I've got a cart full of stuff here. Like, you know, we're pretty loyal customers. You can't trust me on $5? Now, I know the other side of the argument would be, Jason, you were arguing about $5, but I'm also a principal guy, and I think loyalty matters. And so they were like, no, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do for $5. I said, okay, well then I'm not gonna buy this stuff. And
awesome.
And so I said, so you can put this cart back, and they take the cart, and because there was food in it. This is what led to the grudge. Like, I could have probably gotten past it otherwise, but then they took the cart, and because there were food items, they couldn't put those back. Some sort of law that, you know, because I could have been going around the store apparently tampering with it. Mm-hmm. So all that food gets thrown out. So I said, so I heard the manager say this. I said, wait a minute. So now you're going to throw this food away because you didn't trust me on the $5 coupon? I said, I'm not shopping here anymore. And I haven't since. Like, I think we've broken that rule a couple times. But, yeah, I still can't. And so then I went on a...
Wait. When you say we, so, like, do your daughters inherit the grudge? Are they not allowed to shop at Target? Because, as you mentioned, your oldest is 15. I mean, she's going to be driving soon, Jason, and, you know, she's going to be, you know, potentially going to Target on her own. Does she put shame on the Wilde name if she goes to Target?
Yeah, they don't, we don't shop there. Paula goes there. If there's something like, if there's like a birthday gift that only they have, or if there's, I think we got like a vacuum cleaner there at one point. But yeah, we don't, it is a family-wide rule. It is frowned upon. So there are occasional exceptions. I have not told them they could not shop there, but they certainly understand how disappointed and angry I was about it.
Would you feel betrayed if you found out in, say, 10 years, one of your children became a loyal customer of Target?
Betrayed is strong.
Okay.
Disappointed.
But I would be disappointed. Yeah, I would be disappointed in them. It's, I mean, so, I don't know what the statute of limitations is. It has been 15 years.
I think that's up to you. The statute, well, yeah. The statute of limitations is in the eye of the beholder.
Jason, you're famously known as a grudge holder, and I don't think you're alone. And the reason why we asked you this is because I think Aaron is trying to make amends in some sort of way, saying, all right, I might have screwed up. And Joshy, who is not a Rodgers fan anymore, may have trouble making amends, but I think we have to let him, if he wants to go down that path, make amends. Don't mm-hmm. you agree? Because mm-hmm. he's going to be back mm-hmm. here. And we went through the 12 steps of AA, and you're a Seinfeld guy, so you know. But there's definitely a few in here that he's going to struggle with. Honesty, integrity, humility, responsibility. That's it. So did you see the Albert Greer article?
I did. And Greer. And so, look, I was just going to let that pass. So here's the thing, and I had a colleague who was a little bit like this too, and quite frankly, I think they're sleeping in because it's spring break. I have a wife who's a little bit like this too. Apologies are not their strong suit. I was wrong is not a phrase that is a strong suit. But we have, and I think we all have these people in our lives who then by their actions, they kind of apologize, right? Like they can't bring themselves to say it, like Fonzie saying, I was wrong. And if you're 50 and older and you remember Happy yeah. Days, you would get that reference, oh, yeah. but no one else will. But they can't bring themselves to say it, but their behavior kind of indicates, yeah, I was wrong. And I think, you know, the comment about the Packers culture, I think if you watched Hard Knocks during the season that led into him rupturing his Achilles, I think his behavior there with all the young players, I think him showing up for every single second of the off-season program that first year indicated that. I thought it was his way of saying, I'm not going to tell you that I took the wrong approach to 2022, but my actions are going to tell you that I know that I did. And now this is a furtherance of that. So I would agree with you that's, I think he realizes that he needs to be different in order to continue his career and for it to work after the incredible, spectacular failure the Jets experiment was. I still wish we had Doc Brown's time machine and Marty and I could go back to that first game for the Jets and get Rodgers to throw the ball away instead of moving around on that fourth snap. Because that was, you guys remember that, right? Like that was mm-hmm. the play that mm-hmm. he's supposed to get the ball out of his hand. And if he does that, he doesn't rupture his Achilles. Now, whether or not that happens later in the season, right? I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But I just, you know, and instead of saying, look, I did this to myself, it wasn't the Lions' fault, like, I got to get that ball out, and it kills me, and I'm not blaming them, I'm blaming me. You know, the narrative was never that, right? So I would hope that there were lessons that were learned, and I would hope that, as I have said about this, I hope he goes in wherever he's going to be playing, and I like to call it fun Uncle Aaron, because he's so much older than these other guys, mm-hmm. but if you embrace that and you allow them to kind of be a fountain of youth for you, then I think there's the potential that this could be successful. But if you know, kind of grumpy old Aaron and it's my way or the highway and reacting to guys the way he's been known to react to them, then I just think it's going to be more of the same.
Jason, with free agency basically wrapped up, maybe they grab somebody as, you know, a depth piece. But the draft, the only real, you know, real way left to acquire talent for the Green Bay Packers. Yesterday was a month away from first round in Green Bay. Power rank the remaining needs on this Green Bay Packers roster.
Really good question. wide receiver 3, cornerback 2, defensive line 1.
Ooh, so even though they added a corner, you think it's still a bigger need than wide receiver?
Yeah, I mean, look, and that's not a slight on Nate Hobbs. Like, there's a reason why the old saying is you can never have too many corners. And all of those guys, Keyshawn Nixon was the only one last year who played every game. And the likelihood of not having a guy pull a hammy or a groin or whatever it might be is pretty high. So, you know, I just don't think you can get through a season. They did a really good job of stockpiling safeties, right? Like,
yeah,
there was a game where they were without both Bullard and Evan Williams, and Zane Anderson comes in there and plays really well, right? And so, and Ketan Oladapo is a guy that they like too. So they drafted 3 safeties in last year's draft. I wouldn't be surprised if they drafted 3 corners in this year's draft. But again, with only 8 picks, this is why Goody kept saying that he wants more picks. Like, you're right. They've got they got needs to address, and they don't have sufficient draft picks to address them in the manner that he would like. Now, he's had, I think the last 3 drafts, he's drafted 35 players. I think all 3 drafts, it's been double-digit number of picks. And it's one of the reasons why anything that was going to involve a trade and giving up a draft pick, I just never thought was realistic in this offseason. And that includes if Trey Hendrickson, I have not read anything recently, but there were reports that the Bengals were then going, even though they pay the 2 receivers, they're going to try and get something done with Hendrickson too. But that was the one thing that I always thought, that and the fact that he celebrated his 30th birthday, you know, we don't want people that are that old. That I just thought it would be hard for them to do that because they can't afford to give up draft picks because they don't have enough of them. So, you know, I would anticipate he's going to trade back multiple times. He's going to add more picks. They're going to get to 10 or 11. And all 3 of those positions I mentioned are going to be addressed. And don't forget, too, I think they've got to get a couple of offensive linemen because they've got 3 different guys that are going into their contract years, and they already lost Josh Myers. They basically just plugged in, you know, Aaron Banks for Josh Myers. So that's still a need too. That's probably number 4 on the list.
Jason, what's your thought on Jacob Monk?
John Jacob Jingleheimer Smith. La la la.
The fact that they're not even going to let him compete for the starting center job, is he just not ready? Is he any good? What is he? Is he a project?
Yeah, it's a good question. Yeah, I'm not sure because they were pretty high on him when they drafted him, and the fact that they put the other 2 guys in at left guard in the playoff game, you know, that's one of the things I want to ask LaFleur about the next time we talk to him. Which, by the way, he still has not announced his path, which I find to be crazy. Right? Like I think they have some lower level. A job or 2 that are unfilled, but like he has not announced his full staff. It's March 25th. And so whenever he's going to talk to us, this is among the questions that I have is how do you view Jacob Monk? You know, if you're going to move Elton center, I mean, is he your center of the future? Because, you know, Elton's going to turn 30 this year. And despite how good he is, your GM's not going to keep him. Like, how do you view him? And the fact that, you know, those 2 guys that they put in at guard, Glover and Kadeem Telford, those guys are tackles.
Yeah.
Like, I know they love their versatility, but the fact that in a playoff game they went to those 2 guys, and I think Monk was active. I'm pretty sure he was active for that game. So I don't know where that leaves him, Chewy, and that's one of the questions that I would really like to get answered.
Okay.
Jason, we certainly appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again on Thursday. Who's in on Wilde and Tausch today?
The pride of the University of Iowa.
Oh.
Brian Vilaga.
Iowa.
All right. Well, I can't wait to hear more Packer talk from you and Brian Vilaga. Iowa. Coming up later.
I can't wait to hear it either. All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. It's time to get those tailgate grills out and grab your groceries. Opening day in Milwaukee, it's almost here. Next Monday, the unofficial start to summer happens with the Brewers' home opener, and ESPN Wisconsin is going to be all over it. It's sponsored by Carbliss, ready-to-drink cocktails. Live shows from inside the ballpark, special guests all day, and an unmatched excitement for the crew as ESPN Wisconsin will carry every pitch of the home opener. It's opening day on ESPN Wisconsin. It's sponsored by Carbliss. Grab a pack today and be the MVP of your tailgate. Happy baseball season.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Gabe, it'll change your life. Everything, any barbecue you eat for the rest of your life will be measured against Bucky's.
On 94.5 ESPN.